have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
God be the glory. Well, it's once more again, I'm your co-host. I'm your co-host, along with Kimmy Kim. And tonight, of course, the Lord is with us. I also have a special guest again who joined me one other time. He's with me again tonight, Apostle Charles Shealy Jr. We're here tonight to break the bread of life and to inspire and exhort and we'll just say correct, bring forth some correction to some things. To God be the glory, man of God. Thanks for being with us.
Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Good to be here.
Amen. To those who may be listening with us, my brother, he has a podcast that he does on Facebook every Wednesday at 6 o'clock called Men on the Front Line, and we deal with various subjects concerning the body of Christ, and we have some pretty hot topics. So when we left off at on his podcast, sometimes it's kind of like we kind of like run parallel with some things that's on our heart and some things that God actually show us concerning the body of Christ. So tonight we're opening up with the scripture Romans 6:1, because we've been seeing some things in the body that's kind of really kind of like disturbing. We're seeing some stuff where people are it's almost like they're putting on a t-shirt saying they're born again, saying that they're Christians, but we're not seeing some of the attributes. We're not seeing some of the attributes, things that go along with being a Christian, and we do know that in some cases it does take a process, because being born again is just that. Your spirit man is now taking on Christ, and it has to grow, it has to mature, it has to adapt. But
yes, sir.
We've been seeing some stuff where some may have adapted and matured and everything else, and they begin to start going backwards.
Yeah.
So we're going to start out with Romans 6:1, and which says plainly, shall we continue on in sin that grace may abound? Now, I'm looking at that in the King James Version right now, and I'm going to be to the NIV as well, because I saw some very interesting things in various different scriptures that really captivated what the Word of God is saying. So in Romans 6:1, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'll stop right there, brother, and let you jump off a little bit of a wisdom right there.
Man, listen, God bless you, Apostle. It's good to be here tonight, man. Thanks for the invite and all of the other protocol. Thanks for your listeners, man. It's just a blessing to be here, man. You know, we kick around this stuff all the time. I just believe that, you know, nowadays, and it's become evident that people have just forgotten about, you know, shall we abound in sin, or shall we do something different? But it just seems like people want to come in nowadays with a double standard and don't know what this stuff means. So it's a good topic, man. It's a good lesson. Because what is really pointing to and alluding to is your old master versus your new master. You know,
right.
You know, it's going to direct us that way, because Paul is trying to show us, as believers, we need to know how to apply the truth of Christ's identification with his death and resurrection. You know, we have to understand where we fit in. How do we identify? with his death and his resurrection over all his life. So, bro, that's all I'll throw out right now, man. I'll list it back and I'll hop in. You know, I'll just be one of the, excuse the analogy, but it's all coming to my head. You be glad tonight. I'll be the pips tonight.
I think God be the story. All
right.
It'll all, like my grandmother used to say, it all come out in the wash. It's
yes, sir.
All
yes,
right.
Sir. That's it.
The reason why I said this too, like I said, I'm gonna look also in the NIV version too, because like I said, it really kind of like gave me a different, not different, but it just sort of like gave me a little bit more depth or whatever to what we're talking about, because in the NIV it asks the question, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? And the King James said that it may abound. And, you know, when I look at the word about, I'm thinking about that it may stay upon us, that grace may stay upon us. Shall we continue on this thing, that grace will abound, that we'll always have grace? I've known people to pray for me. How did they say it? They said, pray for me. And what I want you to pray for is unlimited favor. They want unlimited favor. And I heard it, but didn't hear it at first.
And unlimited favor.
Yeah, after the Lord started, you know, showing me their conduct and showing me their ways, I was like, "Oh, I see what you're trying to do. You want unlimited grace that never runs out, so you can continue on living in sin."
That's right. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
So that you can continue to practice sin. You want God's grace, you want God's mercy, but you want to do it under God's protection.
Yeah, and oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you good. I'm just gonna say it doesn't work that way.
No, and in this particular chapter, bro, if we go back to the preceding chapter, Paul is explaining to us that we were justified, condemned by the law, and dead in trespassing and in sin. Then he began to unfold how they were then justified by grace alone and Christ alone. And then we get up over to this chapter, man. You know, I think we said this on Wednesday night when we were doing Men on the Front Line, that what's the point of doing this, man, if we're going to remain the same, you know? I don't have to do all this stuff I'm doing and forsaking all I'm forsaking and sacrificing all of, you know, because, you know, Apostle, I'm just one of those fellows that's real and transparent, man. I'm not one of the people who will tell you that I did not enjoy the world when I was in it. You know, as crazy as my thinking was, as crazy as my behaviors and my personality and all of that, man, wrapped up into having a reprobate mind, I really thought I was having a good time out there, man. You know, and let me share with somebody that may be listening. Don't think for one minute that there ain't nothing for you out there. Oh, he got some stuff for anyone who chooses to cross the line and get out there. And that's why it's so hard for people to turn loose this sin nature stuff, man. And that's why you have to do your kind of podcast, and we have to keep yelling on the wall, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because there is a remnant, there is a wave, there's a movement that's going on now that's trying to co-sign misbehaving. And so we have to do what we're doing, man. So Paul is letting you know, like you said, shall we abound? Shall we keep on sinning? He posed that question for a reason, you know, to make him think. You know, preachers should be, do you really believe that after we've met Christ and tasted of his goodness and his grace, that he's going to give us that unlimited favor so you can continue to sin? That just don't work like that. So go ahead, bro. Go ahead, man.
No, you did. You're doing good. Because in you talking, something came to my memory, my mind earlier, even today. You know, as you were saying, being out there in the world, and there's some that's still out there in the world now, and some thinking, well, I'm young right now, and I got my youth, and you know, I want to do this and I want to do this, so I have these memories. You know, I want these memories, cherishing this, that, and the third. And I begin, when I heard that, I begin to look at myself. And when I look at myself, I can remember, Big Brother, I can remember that once God started dealing with me, once God, once he started dealing with me and started showing me that the wages of sin is death, and start showing me the penalty, and started giving me the chastening for those sins, for those memories. Like you said, that's gonna go away. I looked at some of those memories that I thought I was gonna cherish, and said, "Lord Jesus, what in the world was I thinking when I did that?"
Right.
You know, really begin to start looking at those various differences of sins and thinking, was it really worth that? You know, I mean, once that chasing starts, that's like it's just like if your mom is saying, dad told you, don't pick no apples out that apple tree today, and they caught you picking that apple out that tree, and then they said, well, since you up there, go ahead and bring a switch with you. And they go in on you with that switch. You might not even want to bite that apple no more.
Right.
Is the memory worth it? You know, so I'm throwing that out there for some of the youthful ones who might be thinking, you know, it's too early for me to get saved. I still got this going on. I still got my health going on. All these. Oh my God! I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there. All these opportunities are out there. Let me say this for some of my, especially my sisters out there. And I might get a little raw with it. I don't know, let God help me. If there of a male's anatomy tied to an opportunity, sister, that is not an opportunity.
Yes.
That's a trap. That's a setup. That is a trap. That is a setup. See, I've heard some of that lingo, you know, in today's society amongst some of my sisters. They look at certain things, especially if they're riding right, if they got a, you know, the right car, the right house, and they're looking at stuff like an opportunity, and they feel like if they just open themselves up to it, That you know, everything's gonna be hunky dory. That is not. That's the setup.
And it's a lot. It's a lot, Big Bro. It's a lot, Big Bro, to do with all the stuff that we feed ourselves. Things that we don't even give enough credit to. Social media, what we watch on TV, what we see, what we digest in our spirit, man. You know, I was on the Facebook earlier, man, and I was just scrolling through. You know how we do, just catching up. You know, and I saw three or four different people. I don't even know whether we were friends or not, or what was going on. But you know, they were half naked, you know, G-strings and booties shaking and all of that. I'm like, has it really become that? Is the standard that low now that you would get on social media, you know, and something like Facebook where your whole family is probably on there? You know what I'm saying? And just, it's like you said, it's all a setup. It's all, in other words, Big Bro, what Paul was asking when he was asking, what shall we say then, excuse me, how we continue in sin that grace may abound, what he's really saying is, what happened to y'all doctrinally when you met
exactly.
Christ? What through your thinking over the belief that what you're doing is okay? That's basically what he's asking them, you know. So he's trying to position their mind so that they can understand that when you were justified, like you just when you were justified, now you look back at that stuff and you have to ask yourself, how, why, you know, was something really wrong with me when I was into that? But you know, nowadays, man, it doesn't matter. I'm like, what has happened? What is going on, man? That you will find yourself up on any social media platform, and that's all you. Now I understand the world because that's all they have is sin. You know what I mean? That's all they can gravitate to. That's all they can hold on to. But we talk about those who have said yes to the Lord, who have made a commitment to him. Why are you still hanging over there? Why are you still listening to that? Why are you still watching this? Why are you still fornicating? Why are you still masturbating? Why are you still doing these things if you say you love Christ?
Yeah.
So he's just pointing it out. What's going to happen to you, you know, since you first believed? What is going on? What kind of doctrine are you being fed? What is the preacher teaching you? You know what I mean? What is the pastor? What are you feeding yourself that now you've lost all self-control of a good, healthy, righteous life?
Amen. I want to stay here. What I just finished stating. I want to say this too, to help my young ladies, because even though on my pages and stuff, they see me as an apostle, and a lot of them do. They start like they kind of like do a little background check or whatever, and some of them hit me up in my background and say, you know, apostle, right? Now I say, yeah, right. Blah 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 blah. And you know, they're texting back and forth, and I tell you, my sisters, please hear me when I say this. Within 15 minutes, they want to go from Instagram to WhatsApp, or they want to go from WhatsApp to Gmail or something like that. And I already know the pattern. I've seen the pattern. It's gone on for so long, and maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, they say, send me some kind of gift card, send me a Razor card, send me a Amazon card. And they hit heavy, bro. They come out, you know, you send me $100. And I'm like, who raised you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my era, and then, you know, Lord help me. That's just through text. So I don't know you like that. I don't, you know, get to know me before you get to know my money. This is the thing that they don't understand, and one of them came to me, you know, like that, and said, "Well, I just want to know if you have a giving heart." You know, well, my thing is, if you got to know me, you would get to know whether or not I have a giving heart. You know,
right.
you develop a relationship. You get to know them. It's not just a text thing. You know, now they, half of them don't even want to talk. They just want to text, there's a lot of shadiness behind that. When you, that's all you want to do is text. No, what are you hiding? Now I'm helping my brothers out right there. Now, what are you hiding to the point that you just want to text? You don't want to talk. And lo and behold, every time you say something about a video chat or FaceTime, it's always my phone is broke, my camera is broke, or my data is low. Send me some money for my data, or either I'm getting ready. I'm gonna get to my point. Or the network is jacked up. They can't do that. In
right.
other words, they cannot make that face to face contact because you don't even really know who you got then. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my point. Here's my point to my sisters. You want to test a guy by whether or not he can give you $100. First of all, you're trying to find out his economical status. You're trying to find out if you say give him hard. You want to find out if he is a sucker. and then this is the catcher right here. Then let's say he give you $100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let me help my sisters. When a man just come off of his hip and give you $100, at that particular point, it's no longer about a relationship. It is now a transaction. A transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And in the man's perspective, you have become his property.
Yeah.
By however long.
Good teacher.
For
you owe me
long,
some.
yeah. For however long, he keeps shelling that $100 bill out. And he'll shell it out until somebody else come along that look a little bit better than you, that talks a little bit better than you, come along and ask for that same $100.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, though, you done opened yourself up in more ways than one, including your heart. And you have fallen in love for the wrong, I ain't even going to call him a man, I'm going to call him a John. You done fell in love with the wrong thing. And you can't understand why he's not treating you the way you want to be treated. You can't understand why all of a sudden he'll give you $100, but he ain't taking you out no more. You can't understand why he talked back to you.
Right.
Go ahead, big
bro. And big bro, you got to understand, And for my sisters out there, this is the it's called the World Wide Web, you know.
Yes.
And for you to ask $100 of some brothers, that's like asking a dollar from other brothers.
Exactly.
In other words, other levels of men out here, when you start dealing with the World Wide Web, step out of your neighborhood, man. Or your community man, or the only kind of man you used to running into kind of man. You know, people are easy to say, a big bro, you know, I'll give it $500 to do what? But there's somebody out there might actually, you know, I'll give you $50,000 for that.
Right.
And then look where you become, because $550,000 make a whole lot of people move and sin and do a whole lot that they said they wouldn't do. So
yes.
So why open those doors, man? You know, because like you said, once those transactions take place, you know, from a man's perspective, you know, especially a worldly man's perspective, something. I ain't giving you $100 just to give it to you. And don't mess around. Let me have some inside track to you, your Facebook or your phone number, or kind of know where you hang out at. Now I'm going to be the biggest bugaboo you ever met in your life, you know? And that's why, I'll let you finish your point. Go ahead, sir.
But that was it. But like I said,
mm-hmm.
man, you become property.
That's right.
You know,
that's
you become
right.
property. You liable to get slapped upside the head, get that onion skin in any given moment because he's not looking at you as a female no more. He might be looking at you as a female, but he's not looking at you as a lady or a woman.
Especially once the agreements and the terms of the agreement of why we doing this have been met. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm quite sure you ain't saying give me $100. So I can, you know, go buy my baby some diapers and some milk, you know. I'm sure that there's something comes along with that. If it ain't nothing but one of those pictures I text to you or whatever that sucks us in and keeps us perverted, man. And that's what Paul was saying, man, when he said, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. You know,
yes.
He explained how a believer has been translated from the reign of death to the reign of grace that brought life. Now the devil, here we go, the enemy is always working to pervert and undermine every true doctrine of God's word. That's what he want to do. He want to get us off track. You know, my wife was sharing with me the other day. She was on what's the other one, man? Not Indeed, LinkedIn. She was on there, and some guy asked the friend of her. She said she felt a kind of way about it, but she went ahead and friended him. And before she can, you know, push sin, he was already saying, "Hello, how you doing? You know, what you doing?"
Yeah,
you know, and so you have to be careful, man, because this thing is tricky, it's trapping. I know this is not where we're at, but let me say this as well, man. You got to be careful. You got to be careful, man, because these transactions on the internet, some people are having inappropriate text relationships. You know, inappropriate. Conversations over the web, you know, because you know, it's, nobody can see it, and you delete it, and you get rid of stuff, and all of this and that. And you think you're cool, you think you're on the down low. It's nothing more than what Paul is talking about. The enemy is working to pervert and undermine what God has spoken over your life.
Amen, amen. I'm gonna go on to verse 2 because it answers the question. In the King James Version, it says, what shall we do then that we continue sin that grace may abound? And Paul answers the question and says, God forbid, period. I wish he had to put an exclamation mark right there. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, in the NIV, oh, wow, they did put an explanation mark in there. But it says in the NIV, it says, by no means. We died.
Right.
So how can we live in it any longer?
My. Let me throw this definition at you, man. Because it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue? Right there. Continue.
Yes.
Continue. It means to persistently go after something. It means habitually. It means to abide. It means to endure. It means to continue. It means to stay. It means to remain. So I wanted to throw that word out there, man, because so we can understand what continue. You are actually made this a habit now. So we have to understand, like you were saying, man, where we are under the reign of grace and not that of sin. But sadly, in today's church, man, we have people who try to pervert the doctrine of grace, you know, using this same argument, what they call anti-nomen, which means they are against instead of, equals law, you know what I mean? Meaning literally, one is against the law who advocates spiritual lawlessness. So there is people who just are just lawless. They don't care. They you know, some of us apostles, we get up and we try to walk, you know, within the confines of the rules. We try to stay on our side of the road, in our lane, as they say, in the body of Christ. But there are some that don't mind riding on the sidewalk, tearing down your mailbox, chewing up the grass. Because they just spiritual lawless. They don't care.
Yes. So when I was looking at it, it was asking the question, how can we live any longer if we're actually supposed to be dead? We supposed to be dead.
Yes, doctor.
And when we say dead, then this, listen, that stuff that we, when we got buried, that's what the Benson is talking about in the fourth chapter. It said, therefore we are buried, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay. Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism unto death. In other words, we're supposed to be dead. Dead to this thing called sin. In other words, we shouldn't even be feeling that. We're supposed to be numb.
Right.
We're supposed to be numb.
They should have no effect on us.
Yeah. We're supposed to be numb to this stuff. You know? We're not supposed to. And I can truly thank God for how he has delivered me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I remember, you know, after I got saved, you know, I would kind of be like halfway scared to walk down the aisle at some of the 7-Elevens because I knew beer was in there. I walked through there a couple of times and I ain't feel nothing. I said, okay. I'm doing pretty good. You know? And then it went on by, you know, one day I'm walking down the street. Next thing I know, I smell some weed. It didn't affect me. I said, okay, I got this thing pretty good. I'm doing real well. Better than I have before. But I'm just saying, you know, some of it don't come overnight. Some of it don't come like this. Because later on, you know, you might go on down through there and then there's a girl in the corner, you might find out you ain't quite got over that hump.
You ain't quite yet. Yeah.
You ain't quite. You know, we're just being transparent. You might, wait a minute now. I'm struggling right here. You know.
Yeah.
I got a few more plates I got to turn over. You know.
Hey, big bro. Let me deal with real quickly, man. Very quickly. Let me deal with our babes in Christ. One of the reasons why it is hard for us to grasp the whole death thing because we're so full of life, you know. We my dad said this earlier today. He said he come to conclusion, and we just chuckled at it. He said he come to conclusion that young people don't believe that they're going to die. They don't believe that, you know, death could be right around the corner. That's why they take the risk that they do and do all that they do. We don't really grasp this dead thing. And I want to help somebody. See, the reason why the Bible talks about us being dead, Paul is teaching us here, but Christ also tells us to die, to sin. You know, and the reason why, big bro, is because, you know, and this is how he gave it to me a few years ago. This ain't been a long time. It's been a few years ago. He said, you know why I want you to be dead? Because I was struggling with it. He said, I want you to be dead. It's because you can go to a corpse right now, spit in his face, he won't move. You can go over there and slap his face, he's not going to move. You can do any obscene thing you want to a corpse. A dead man is not going to respond. And exactly. So that's the kind of death he's talking about as we reflect on dying to sin. Things that used to bother us shouldn't bother us. You can walk up and you can tell all the mama jokes you want. You can talk about, you know, he just died. You can tell, man, I slept with your wife last night. He is not going to respond because he is dead. He has no longer an attachment to this world. And that's what God is trying to get us to do, detach from sin. But see, you know, spit in one of our faces.
Oh, it's on
the top. Slap my face, bro. You know,
I don't know if I'm dead yet.
Yes, sir. Let some offense come at me. And so, but we don't give this much We don't get as much justification, man, in the body of Christ. You have to be dead, just like them corpses. You can do whatever you want to somebody that's dead. They won't respond. Look when they land in the morgue, Apostle, and I'll be quiet. When they land in the morgue and doing the autopsy, they don't give them no medicine. They don't give them no numbing agent. They just go to slicing into him. Why? Because he's no longer attached to the world. He's no longer attached. And so you can do whatever you want. You don't have to, like right now, they had to do surgery on me. They got to put me under some kind of medicine to bring me down so I don't feel the cut. But when you're dead, you don't feel that stuff, man. And that's what the Lord is trying to get us to get to, man. We have to die, man. We have to die to whatever that thing is, like we were just talking, that woman that you see. You dead to that. You dead, but the reason why we can't die is because we still think we got so much life to live. We got so many things to accomplish. We got so much stuff to do. That's how it is now, big bro. We just always on the move, movers and shakers, man. And when we get to that place where we accomplish some things, now we find some other stuff to move and shake. That's why they keep making new cars every year, new cell phones, you know. I bought a new car, man. It was a Pontiac back in the day. They came out with a new one, and I went and got the new Grand Am Pontiac. And all they had did was put little white taillights on the back and charge me another $9,000 for the same car that I already had.
Hey, men.
You know, folks going out every year, if they come out with a 14 and put, you know, that you can freeze a photo or erase something, you got the same phone with just one extra feature that you're paying another $1,000 for, because we always unsatisfied, man. We don't know how to die. We don't know how to do what Paul also says, be content in whatever state we find ourselves. Go ahead, bro.
Hey,
you already know, don't fool with me, man, because I'll get to talking and we'll be totally outside, man. So cut me off, bro. Don't let me do that.
No, you're doing good. You're doing good. I wrote down here because I was going to go somewhere else, but I wrote down here, and I think I wrote down the wrong verse. I thought it was John 8:11, mm-hmm. but it talks about when Jesus talked to his disciples, if you continue in my commandments, then are you my disciples indeed?
Are you my disciples? Yes, sir.
That is where, you know, a lot of us seem to have a struggle. John 8 and said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are ye.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
I always tell people, you know, the if, it is the smallest little two-letter word, but yet it has so much weight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It is very much conditional. It can sway you one way or another. You know, he's saying, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Now, listen, this thing, I don't know, I think this might have been the first time it really jumped out to me, because it said he said this to the Jews. So in respect, in the plain whole view, he was saying this to the Jews that believed on this. He couldn't say this to the Jews that did not believe on him. But he said it to the Jews that believed on him. In other words, he realized that there was a tradition, there was a religion, there was a stronghold that would try to pull us back into their old state.
Yes, sir.
And he
yes,
had to let them know, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. It's a continuous, it's a continuous, it's a continuous fight. See, if there was no work to this thing, then the world wouldn't be talking to us about putting on the full on armor. Salvation comes free. Indeed it does. But Paul also said, let every man work out his soul's salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that you just jump in and then hit cruise control or autopilot and everything goes.
No, sir. No, sir.
You know, no.
You're about to crash.
It's a spiritual warfare.
Yes, sir. The
enemy is jacked up in his forehead now that you done gave your life to Christ. And he wants back.
That's right.
And he wants back that which he has lost.
He definitely
do not want you to get grounded and rooted and become what God is intending for you to be, which is a demon slayer. He don't want you to be fully equipped. That's not what he wants. He don't want to lose you in the first place.
Man, that's good. Yeah.
But he definitely do not want you to find out what your inheritance is. He don't want you to know your identity as a believer. He sure don't want you to know what power you do have over him. He do not want that.
Nope.
He definitely do not want that.
Because it simply points to, man, you know, break it down to the lowest common denominator so even a fool could err. So when he says death to sin, he's simply pointing out that in our union with Christ, we have been delivered from the reign of sin and death. So when we come Christ, there should be no more sin. And there's a fellow, man, I forget his name, but I got this quote written down in my notes. He says, holiness starts where justification finishes. Holiness starts where justification finishes. And if holiness does not start, we have the right to be suspect that justification never started either. Because holiness picks up where when we become justified. Now we are being grafted into the body of Christ. You know what I mean? And so listen, that's why the Bible says, I believe it's Revelation or one of the four gospels. You can help me out if you remember the verse, man of God. Holiness without no man shall enter, you know.
Mm.
And so he's just trying to make it simple for us, man, to understand that when we die to sin, it just means that we're born in Christ. That's all it means. So you cannot, man, do the stuff you used to do and still claim that you have Christ on the inside of you. I can't give you a pass on that. Neither will I get upset with folk. Because you remember I told you, man, all the time now, I'm trying to learn how to deliver this message without it sounding like I'm upset because I can't go to the club no more. You know, because I'm really not upset. But sometimes it'll come across like that. So the Lord is dealing with me on how to handle this where I don't sound like I'm mad because you still get to dance and I can't dance. What we're trying to show you here is when we are in Christ, man, that sin nature, Christ, oil and water don't mix. Light and darkness don't mix. You know what I mean? And he teaches us either you're going to have one God, or if Baal be your God, then you serve Baal. If God be your God, then you serve God. He never tells us that we can have both. You know, he said right. You got to have one master. You can't have two, because either you love one more than you do the other. He makes it plain. Lukewarm. Yes. If you're lukewarm, you got to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. The whole point of this lesson, man, is getting over to where we need to be in Christ, where we need to be in Christ. Never mind what everyone else is doing. I know, man. I see it sometimes, man, even with my own family, Blast. You know, they'll put on Facebook, they're at the barbecue, you know, and I see those standing in the corner, you know, got them brown cigarettes in their mouth. Hey, they got them brown cigarettes, and, you know, somebody yeah. got a beer turn up. And I can't lie to you, man. I have to get off of there. Not because I want to go back to the sin, but the trap is I want to be around my family. You understand? That's the trap, you know. And so you have to even – see, those are the sacrifices, man, that you look up and you tell the Lord, Lord, I ain't upset about it. You know, because my time with you justifies all the sacrifices I'm making. You know, the yeah. where I'm spend eternity justify not looking at that, not touching that, not trying to become this or that, minding what I do to the best of my ability. You know, and like you said, big bro, it you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy, you know, that transition, especially when you still got your mind, you know, your body's here with us, but your mind is on the yeah. other side of time, you know, and it makes it difficult for us to stand and just be all that God wants us to be.
Amen. But, yeah, there is a continuing factor. You know, there is a continuing factor. I I told you, yeah, I shared this on Men on the Front Lines this past week when I said that God had called me into the ministry full time, and I went and took this job. Big bro, I took the job, and that wasn't the first time. The one I told y'all about, that was the first time I did it. Like a dummy, like a big dummy. Another opportunity popped up, and like a dummy, I tried that one too. And shocks. I practically almost left here, and I ain't talking about no vacation either. Anyway, it was after this that God started showing me how certain things in our lives actually become idols, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, family. We look at it and we say, well, you know, and the enemy, he'll play his part in it. You know, you didn't drink with him, and you didn't partake with him, and you didn't smoke, you didn't hit that joint with them, you know. But if it's according to what God has dealt with you about, it's according right. to what God has said, you know. Because like with me, the only thing that the enemy kept trying to reason with me about was that, well, you got to have money, and you're not hitting nobody over the head. You're not, right. you know, you're not selling no drugs. You know, you're not going to sell your body. So, you know, this must be all good. It's okay.
Right.
No, it's not mm-hmm. okay, because the moment God has said, don't touch that tree, Adam.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, and you go there, that particular thing can be, in the eyesight of God, an idol. And I found out one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to kindle his wrath. You don't want to kindle, because he is a very jealous God.
Yes,
when
sir.
You start looking
yes,
at
sir.
That and finding out that you care more about this or that more than you do him, is, you know, you and I was talking about that because God had showed you where he just, you know, you set stuff up on the pedal, he'll just start moving the pedal out of the way, just start taking you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, what we're talking about is it may sound crucial and harsh to some people, but we're in it to save lives and souls.
And when you're in it for those reasons, man, it will come across harsh sometimes. It will come across what it is. You know what I mean? When you go into an operating room and say you have busted your leg up or got gangrene in it and all that, there's no soft way to tell you I'm going to have to take half of your leg off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He don't come in there sugarcoating it. He's telling you what has to happen in order for you to live. You know, and that's what we do as messengers, man. Listen, sometimes I ain't got time to play with you and try to find the right words to say. That's why we need to know scripture so we can always throw out what the Word of God says versus how I feel about something. You know, it's just that crucial, big bro. It's just that crucial. Let me read this, man. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus? Christ was baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness, in the newness, in the newness of life." Why are you still doing stuff that you were doing 20? In the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, Lord. Go on, man. Go ahead, bro. Because that'll put preacher voice on without
me. No, that's it right there. That's it. I mean, that sums it all up. I've enjoyed this. I did have a few more other places to go, but no, it's not your fault, man. It's just how the Holy Ghost moves, man. And we thank God for the opportunity, man, once more and again to break bread with you, to have my lovely host Kim and Kim on here. I'm gonna tell you. I'm going to have her on here one night and let her fire things up.
I would love
something.
That.
The woman got it something else.
Keep me posted when you do that. I would love to hear the woman
One night I might have to have all three of us on here and just let it roll, man. She's phenomenal. She's phenomenal.
Amen.
To God be the glory. We thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for you coming on, bro.
Yes, sir.
We pray.
Yes, sir. Bless you, man.
The recovery, speedy recovery. We thank you, Lord
man.
For using the
yes,
man
Lord.
Of God the way you did. And we thank you for watching over him.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we just ask that you would touch
please,
him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet.
Please, God.
I don't
please,
know
God.
Next man, not to go to the doctor, but we decree right now in Jesus'
yes,
name
Lord.
That he
receives
a good report, God. A
yes,
good
God.
Report
thank you,
in
Lord.
The name of
yes,
Jesus.
And in
I say it because I we rebuke, Lord God, the fact that we decree that he won't have to go under surgery. We decree that
yes,
he
Lord.
Won't have to
thank
go under
night.
And we give you praise, we give you honor, we give
yes,
you glory.
God.
We decree and we send forth ministering angels to touch him, to minister to him from the
yes,
crown
Lord.
Of his head to the sole of his feet, God.
Thank
we decree
you,
that we sleep, we rest, Lord God. This thing won't buffet him to the place where we have to get up throughout the night.
We
give you praise. Lord,
yes,
in Jesus' name,
yes,
we thank you,
Jesus,
Lord God,
man.
For watching over Kimmy Kim and her family, God. We thank you for
yes,
what you're
Lord.
Doing in her life. We thank you, Lord God,
yes,
for
God.
The strength that you're giving her to do the things that she do. My God, she's a busy woman. But, Father God,
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You that you give her sleep, sweet rest as well. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us all a blessed weekend And we be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And, Father, if there be someone here who heard us, who was listening to us, you're not saved. If you don't know if you're saved, just repeat after, Father, I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. I believe that he died my third day. You raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. You said by doing so that I shall be saved. So I'm asking you, God, send your Son, Jesus, to come into my heart. I renounce Satan on every end, and he has no part of my life. I am now a new creature in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, now, if you prayed that prayer, you can reach me. I'm Apostle Brian Blassingame. You can find me on Facebook, Snapchat. You can catch me on Instagram. Apostle Sheely Jr., you can catch him on Facebook as well. You can catch him on Instagram. I don't know if you're on Snapchat or, but I know you're on Instagram.
No,
I know.
I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay. And the wonderful Timmy Kim, you can also catch her on Instagram and Facebook. Well, that does it for tonight. Again, we just praise God for what he's doing, how he's moving. And again, remember, let's do everything in decency and in order, but most of all, let's do it for his glory.
Yes, Lord.
Again, we say good night to each and every one of you. Kimmy Kim, please take us out. Again, thank you, bro.
Thank you, sir.
I'm trying to get ready. I'm trying to get ready. And to get ready. Sometimes I wonder how long can the world continue to stand with brother killing brother, no love in this land. But the natural truth is the night, girl.